Hey guys, I really like, you guys know me. I like geeky stuff. I like comic books.
What?
Oh yeah, movies, pop culture stuff, video games.
Not what? You.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
Say it ain't so.
I know, but you know what the problem I have? I have a problem finding out how to get this stuff. I'm maybe like on a regular monthly basis, maybe?
If only there was some sort of...
like a service or
like
something.
A monthly subscription box.
Yeah.
That would fuel your geek needs.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's a good word to use.
I got $1 million idea, guys.
What's that?
Thanks.
That's a monthly subscription box called Geek Fuel.
What? And where would you get that at?
Geekfuel.com/all of my issues.
Yes.
All right, well, my mind is blown right now. So
I'll give you $3 off.
$3
right now.
Whoa, you are blowing my mind right now.
Yeah, keep it up.
I don't know what to say. My world is upside down.
You had me at $3 off.
Yeah,
you had me at Geek Fuel.
At Geek Fuel, monthly subscription box full of awesome.
Buy it now.
Internet, and welcome to another episode of All of My Issues. In this episode, episode 35, we figured in honor of the success of the Wonder Woman movie, we would talk about the best female characters in movies, comic books, everything. And, you know, what better people to talk about three powerful female figures than three guys? All right, without further ado, let's get started.
I'm Sam.
I'm Chris.
All right. And today we're going to talk about the best female superhero characters. Heroics, right?
Our favorite female characters from...
Heroines.
Well, yeah. I mean, there is a heroin epidemic.
Right now,
everywhere I look.
That's a whole other problem.
I see heroines.
Heroines everywhere. So, but first, I guess we'll just mention, you know, this is kind of in honor of Wonder Woman coming out and being a success.
Yes.
Finally. Thank you, DC.
Good job, DC.
For, you know, or Warner Brothers, if you will, I guess.
Yeah.
For getting one right.
Exactly.
So.
I have not yet seen it.
Yeah. So we're not going to be too spoilery.
They were strong enough for a man, but it made for a woman.
pH balanced for a woman.
That's pH right. balanced. That's right. That's right. So no, we liked Wonder Woman. Sam and I are the only ones that have seen it. Chris hasn't had the opportunity yet, but he will see it soon.
Because he's being a good husband.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
I'm looking forward to the scene where Hippolyta unmasks and reveals that her real self is Martha.
Yes, that happens.
Figuring post credit scene.
Oh man, but the one thing that did surprise me after I dug this up was, I'm trying to think of the character's name, the one badass Amazon that trained Diana.
Robin Wright.
Yes. I didn't realize that was Princess Buttercup.
Yeah.
I didn't realize who that was.
It's Jenny.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Holy
yeah.
smokes. Yeah. I mean, because...
I'm not a smart man, but I realized right away that.
But yeah, I mean, totally, like, I mean, she's pretty BA in it.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. She, yeah.
The mascara is like a box of chocolates.
It's like a box of chocolates. But... in general, I mean, we're going to, I guess we'll talk about it in just vagueness and
yes. you know,
the no man's land scene. If you see that, I think that's kind of, the internet is a buzz with that scene. I think for the most part, everyone seems to universally like that scene.
Yeah, that was a, it was one of my favorite scenes in the film, because it not only, you know, showed her strongness, but it also showed, you know, the teamwork, where they're like, hey, she's doing that. Well, let's not just stand here and let her, you know, everything.
Exactly. Even though she really did do everything.
She still maintained that, you know, she was the superhero and everybody else was just, they were the
At that point, psychics. Yeah, with that scene, at that point, that's when the movie won me over.
Yeah.
Where I was like, okay. You know.
And at any point in time, does she spin in place and, like, get engulfed in a glowing light to change her outfit?
I was hoping for it. I wanted to hear, you know, that doesn't happen, but but still catchy music, that the whole thing that's going on.
That every time I try to every time I try to reproduce it audibly, it sounds more like Led Zeppelin's Immigrant Song.
Oh yeah, I guess so. Yeah, yeah.
When I try to do it, it's like
it's not a noise that can be made by humans.
Yeah,
I guess.
I didn't realize how easy it is to get into Thanoscara.
Yeah, I guess, you know, if you're in the right geographic location, I guess you can just kind of go in there.
Just walk on it.
Yeah. It could pose a problem. I don't know. The performances were rock solid.
Yeah.
Everything about it. No mention of Martha.
No mention.
I'm sorry.
You just spoiled it.
I did. Man.
You just spoiled it.
Yeah. Please tell me that they set up a crossover between Transformers and Wonder Woman.
I think that
might
be possible.
Because I would like to see Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime.
I made that just to hear Sam groan, and it worked.
Oh man,
I thought the lead, she did a very good job.
Yes, absolutely. Gal got that. Gadot.
Which every time I saw it prior to hearing it pronounced correctly, I thought was Godot.
Godot.
Like, I just assumed it was a French pronunciation, but it's not.
It says really.
Yeah.
And Chris Pine did a good job.
Chris Pine is a national treasure. Name one bad performance by Chris Pine. I'll give you all day. None. That's what I thought.
I think there's a check. No, I didn't even really see that.
He was even awesome in the... Oh, man, what movie was that? Oh, gosh.
He was great in Smoking Aces.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's a really underrated movie.
It is so fun.
It's just a fun movie. Yep. Oh, man.
And you're, like, surprised how many people are in that movie.
Everyone is in that. It is. Man, that is a good movie. Now you're making me want to pull that out and watch it.
Yeah?
Whoa.
I mean the movie.
Okay.
Smoking Aces.
I mean, I like it and all, but...
I'm not going to pull it out.
I mean, you don't want to watch it?
Not now. Not with you.
I like that.
Yes, indeed. So, yeah, Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I thought the story went well. Now, like, if you compare Wonder Woman's story with Captain America's First Avenger story, I thought Wonder Woman's went a lot smoother and had a better pace.
It definitely went at a better pace. I think it, all in all, was, like, the story was told so much more, you know. There was no point at all, I think, during the movie where I was waiting for the next scene to start. It was just everything flowed. Where, you know, Captain America, the First Avenger, I mean, there's points where I think it kind of dragged maybe.
Right.
In the middle, you know. The only thing I would say is, like, maybe the ending of Wonder Woman. I mean, I don't really have any problems with it, but it's probably just the thing where it's a little bit weaker than the rest of the film. Like, the first half of the movie, and more than the first half, really, is really solid, I think. It's really good.
I think when it comes to, in DC and in their movies, when it comes to, like, scenes where there has to do with their character having to fly and fight, I think they still have to kind of develop that.
Yeah.
Because that's not the first time.
Yeah. It seemed a little bit more like that, like, you know, Zack Snyder had some part of the script or whatever, you know. And it seemed like that's the part that he had a part in. Right. Because,
I mean, it was better than B versus S fight scene.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But,
yeah.
But, so. But other than that, if that's the worst, then.
It's, yeah. It's pretty good. Exactly, exactly. I mean, definitely.
Breaking records, though.
Yeah, yeah. It's breaking records. Yeah.
Good.
Highest, pull for a female director.
Yes.
Opening that weekend.
Awesome. That is awesome, yeah.
For, man, what she directed Monster?
Yeah, yeah, she directed Monster.
Yeah.
Which is interesting that they, you know, granted that it's also like a female-led movie and everything, but like totally, tonally different.
And she was briefly attached to Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, that's right. I do remember that.
Yeah, I don't know what happened
to, yeah.
Patty Jenkins.
That's right.
But yeah, over $100 million opening weekend. That's
pretty decent money. Yeah,
that's not too shabby.
Yeah, that makes you think there might be a Wonder Woman sequel. Maybe.
Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo. I mean, if they do, you know, if they go in, you know, time frames, maybe
$100 million is a lot of Wonder Bread.
That is a lot of Wonder Bread, you know. Yeah, but maybe the next time frame will take place in the '70s, if we're lucky.
If we're lucky,
so definitely could get that Electric Boogaloo action going.
Wow,
that could be good.
That could be good. Yeah.
Maybe she can learn kung fu.
Maybe.
I
don't
know. Yeah. Wonder Woman.
I don't know. I was just hoping they would sneak that in there somehow. But
well, ideally, if we're going to go full 70s, they're going to put Kung Fu. There's going to be a Bigfoot sighting.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They will get
maybe
lost in the
Bermuda. Maybe she'll fight Bigfoot.
Yes. They're going to, and played by Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
Because that was in.
But then twist, the Bigfoot is a robot.
Is the robot, yes.
Yeah.
Bermuda Triangle needs to be involved somehow.
Yes, yeah.
What else is big in the 70s? I can't think of anything else real off the top.
I think of the 70s,
those
I think
the big
of those,
things, yeah.
Those three things or four things. Yeah.
All right.
Here you go. So if any scriptwriters are out there working on the next Wonder Woman movie.
Just remember Bigfoot.
Bigfoot has to be involved.
Yep.
We would accept it just a small credit in the credits at the end of the
movie. No monetary gain really for this.
We don't care.
Yeah. It's all about the art.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't care about the cash.
We're not in this for the money. We're so in this for the money.
so into it for the money.
I sold out before I ever even knew what I was doing. No, I'm just joking.
Not really. So,
hey, we want to talk about our...
Yeah, let's talk about our...
Our five favorite female characters from things
as
we like.
As inspired by Wonder Woman.
Yeah. As inspired. Now, that being said, we did not include Wonder Woman on any of our lists because... Yeah.
It seemed to be the obvious choice. There's lots of discussion about Wonder Woman already.
And there's two others we didn't include.
Yes.
Princess Leia, because when Carrie Fisher passed, we had a long talk about her impact. So she would definitely be on my list if we were including her.
Absolutely, yeah.
As would Ellen Ripley, who we also in a past podcast kind of talked about.
Her impact, both good and...
Both good and bad, we've talked about.
Yeah.
So these are those three characters.
That's right. And there's probably some other ones we're
going to... I mean, there's some other big ones that we're just skipping. But
yeah, because it seems to be unnecessary at this point. We wanted the little lesser known.
Well, I'm not going that far.
Well, okay, yeah, maybe not.
A little less obvious choice.
Yes, maybe. There you go. That's good. That's a good word. You use the best words, Chris.
I do. They're huge.
Huge words.
Bigly.
Covfefe. Covfefe. That's how it's
called. I saw a great thing, and it was a cologne bottle, and it was a shirtless Putin and a shirtless Trump, like holding each other, and it was just titled Covfefe.
Man,
it looked so like an Obsession ad.
Covfefe.
That's the power
of Covfefe.
I love it. That's great. All right, so shall we move on to our list, gentlemen?
Sure.
Sure. Tradition holds.
Yes, tradition. And if there's nothing else we have.
We have.
Tradition.
Samuel shall go first.
Alrighty.
With the reading of the list.
The reading of the list.
Number five.
My number five pick is Samantha Kane. Now. Those of you who are like, who is Samantha Kane? Well, let me...
Which I would be.
And I was, but I looked it up when I saw the name on his list and was like, oh,
you might,
this is a good pick.
You might know her as a different name. Samantha Kane, a.k.a. Charlie Baltimore, from the movie The Long Kiss Goodnight, 1996, starring Gina Davis.
Oh, I know that. I've never seen this movie, but I know.
You shut your whore mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
I don't care that this is your house. Get out.
Get out.
You go. We'll continue the list about 2.5 hours later.
Besides La Femme Nikita, Charlie Baltimore, The Long Kiss Goodnight is like one of the key, like, movies for females as far as like action and assassin.
Ah,
it's like if there's La Femme Nikita, there's Charlie Baltimore, The Long Kiss Goodnight. I mean,
those are
and then
same,
Sarah,
the same level.
They're same level. It's like not knowing who Sarah Connor is.
Who's Sarah Connor?
So you seriously?
Is that like in Leprechaun or something? I know.
You need to get out. All right, The Long Kiss Goodnight. It starred Gina Davis and Samuel L. Jackson. What the movie? The synopsis of the movie was: Samantha Kane was a single mother who, you know, was liked to go to PTA meetings and liked to cook and everything. And all of a sudden, she gets attacked by this hitman. And she begins to realize, as she's fighting this hitman, she has all these different abilities where she's really good at hand-to-hand combat and weaponry.
All right.
And so after she dispenses of the bad guy, her and her boyfriend are like, hey, I don't know why this guy was attacking me. And come to find out that she had amnesia. So she's like, you know, maybe I was a chef or something like that. Or maybe I don't know why this guy attacked me. And so she started doing all these abilities and all these things. And when that guy attacked her and stuff, she's like, well, I need to go and figure out what I was, because this guy attacked me. I know who this guy is. So she employs the help of Samuel L. Jackson's character. He's kind of a private eye investigator, but you know how they are. He doesn't really do things
by the books.
Books.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I knew that was coming.
And so they were piecing things together, and a series of events happened where she begins to get her memory back. And come to find out that she is a super spy for the U.S. government named Charlie Baltimore. And so there was a mission that she did not complete called Honeymoon. And so the people that gave her amnesia because they shot her in the head, found out that she was alive, and all chaos happens, and she gets her memory back, and she starts kicking the crap out of all of them.
It's a good pull, Sam.
Yeah, that's
that movie was written by Shane Black.
Shane Black.
Let me talk to you about some movies in descending order that you might know him from.
All right.
The Predator.
I've heard of this movie. Yeah, it's not out.
Not the original.
But
the one that's not out yet.
Okay. All
right. The Nice Guys. He wrote that. I know you don't like Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
However, we'll skip past that to Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Okay.
The Long Kiss Goodnight, obviously. the first Lethal Weapon movie. Let's talk. Oh, let's not forget The Last Boy Scout,
which is a good movie.
And then let's not forget that he also wrote The Monster Squad.
What? Monster Squad?
And it all comes together.
Okay. That is a fantastic pick, then.
So, just based off, look at the resume.
Yes. Based off those credentials, how can that movie not be good?
You really need to go. I will go to my house, bring The Long Kiss Goodnight over.
You have it on DVD?
I have it on DVD.
Oh, my God.
I think I even had it on VHS, too.
Oh, man, so good. You have it in two formats.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Long Kiss Goodnight. That speaks a lot right there.
So that is my number five pick, The Long Kiss Goodnight, Samantha King / Charlie Baltimore.
This is what I like about our list. Whenever there's something new unveiled that I've not been exposed to, you guys expose me to it.
Like my penis.
Yeah. I mean, full-on exposure.
That all right. is all of our issues.
I find no better way to celebrate strong female characters than by mentioning my penis.
Yes. Yeah.
I apologize in advance to everyone listening. My number five, I couldn't include Leia, so I've included Rey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Star Wars The Force Awakens. And The Last Jedi. And I will go ahead and assume that whatever the last, then number nine is, she will be in that as well. Played by Daisy Ridley. Right now, shrouded in mystery. We don't fully know who she is. Is she Skywalker? Is she Solo? Is she Kenobi? Is she a reincarnation of Darth Vader? We don't have any idea who she is. We do know, however, that she is almost the anti-Luke, in that she is also trapped on a desert planet, but rather than sit around and whine about Tashi Station, she's out there...
Power converters.
Oh, yeah. And wishing she was someplace else. She wishes she was someplace else, but she's also getting business done.
That's true, yeah.
Throughout the movie, again, in the opposite way of Luke, she goes and gets herself in trouble time after time after time, but always rescues herself.
That is true.
So
Luke needed a little bit of rescue.
Luke needed a lot of rescue and a lot of teaching.
Yeah.
You know, Han Solo plays the Obi-Wan style character to her a little bit, but man, she's over there doing modifications on the Millennium Falcon as quick as he can talk about it. So
her midichlorian count must be off the charts.
I don't know how many times I'm going to say this, but shut your whore mouth. That's twice.
That's in one
on podcast and once before.
That is true.
She's obviously force sensitive and a pilot. And there was some complaints when she came out that she's a stereotypical Mary Sue. And for anyone listening or either of you that don't know, Mary Sue's a character who it's based on some old novels where the Mary Sue character comes in and is able to do everything perfectly. Mm. But I don't think she is a Mary Sue. I think they're going to reveal something in her background that makes her super force sensitive and that able to do
logical,
these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like she's an academy student.
Yeah.
Well, and then the fact that she released those things, so that wasn't perfect. She released those aliens onto the ship.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So she hasn't done everything perfect.
Either. Right.
Yeah.
But the fact that, you know, with zero training, they say with zero training, she's able to do the Jedi mind tricks and with Daniel Craig and...
Yeah, yeah.
And whatnot. But I just think it's going to be revealed that it was in her already, the training, even though she didn't know it's there, it's there. But and regardless, maybe I'll be wrong and I'll have to eat my words, but I'm putting my faith in J.J. Abrams and Rian Johnson, so... That is my number five.
That's a good number five. I like it. My number five is from a comic book.
Is alive.
I didn't pick that one.
It's Short Circuit?
It's not
Johnny Five?
It's Johnny Five. Johanna 5. Something out. No, it's a, never mind. My number 5 comes from Uncanny X-Men number 130. And is kind of from the disco era.
I know right away who you had me at 130.
You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. The character I'm talking about is Dazzler. I've always liked this character for some reason. I don't know why. Her powers are kind of lame. Interesting. Yeah. Okay, you can go with lame. You can't. I'll go with that. But, you know, she there's still, I think the thing that I like about the character is probably how she kind of developed eventually into the relationship she had with Longshot and everything.
Yeah,
it was just a, you know, really, you know, just a lot of development to that character. So I think that's why I kind of grew to love that character. Not love, but, you know. You can love your comic book characters, but don't love your comic book characters. See, it's a character I think was well written at the time and everything. Just a lot of development. And I think it would make an interesting character. Maybe if they try to modernize her in some way.
Yeah.
Make her like a pop star.
Take away
or
her,
something like that.
Take away her skates?
Yeah, take away her skates a little bit, you know. You know, Disco would, you know, has never died. So, I mean, it could
not
totally
do
that. Yeah. Not in our hearts. That's right. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, everyone is kung fu fighting.
Everyone is kung fu fighting.
So,
yeah.
It is fun to stay at the YMCA.
It is.
It is.
Yes, indeedy. So, yeah, my number 5 from Uncanny X-Men is Dazzler.
Dazzler.
All right, nice. All right, my number 4. My number 4 pick, it comes from TV Land, and it is Claire Huxtable.
Claire Huxtable.
From The Cosby Show.
All right.
Yes.
Did I just mention The Cosby Show?
You did.
Oh, okay. Which, it's okay. Claire Huxtable, she was played by Felicia Rashad.
Mm-hmm.
From September of 1984 to April of 2002. For me, Claire, she was a mother and a wife, and she was also a lawyer in a big firm.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it kind of, growing up, it showed that before then, it was more of the mom stayed at home, and the dad went to work. But with The Cosby Show, it kind of reversed it. It was like, you know, Bill Cosby's character, his practice was at his home, and but Claire went to work, and they had, well, how many kids? There was Vanessa, Rudy, Theo, Denise, Sandra. They had 5 kids, so you had 5 children in a home.
And that stupid little neighbor kid.
Oh, yeah.
Go, what's his name?
Man, I forget.
But it was 2 neighbor kids. There was the one who liked it, Rudy.
Yeah, that's
Kenny. That was Kenny, the one liked the Rudy. And then there was the fat
Theo's
white kid. I forgot what the fat white kid's name.
Oh, I was thinking of the fat white kid.
Oh.
Yeah, I think, yeah. I don't know.
It was Kenny and I can't remember. But it was just kind of, it was just nice to see that, you know, she was still being a mother there and being nurtured and everything, but she also had no problem going into the workforce and basically, you know, being a force to be reckoned with as a lawyer. And I thought that was a real
Peter.
Peter, yeah.
That's, Peter. Yeah.
I just thought that was like a real positive look on, and not just an African American woman, but all just women in general. That, you know, it can be done, mm-hmm. and you don't have. She wasn't like perfect, but I mean, it was just good to see. So that's my number 4 pick, Claire Huxtable.
Claire Huxtable. I don't have a lot to say about it. I watched the show a lot when I was little. I loved Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
I don't really have a whole lot to say. She was a good, I think, good role model.
Yeah.
It was nice seeing positive female role models on TV.
Yeah. Not a, like, super-powered character, but a strong character.
Yeah, a strong character. Because you got 5 kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And you had to put up with, with Heathcliff.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah, good pick, good pick.
All right. My number 4, Rick doesn't know, but I'm sure Sam will.
Yeah, that's...
Sarah Connor.
Oh, Sarah, yeah. That's from... yeah.
Do you know who that is?
Sounds familiar. It sounds familiar. Connor's Irish?
In particular.
Irish movie? Is it an Irish movie?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
thought so. Yes, it's Far and Away.
Far away. Yes. Oh, yeah, I've heard about that.
No, Sarah Connor, obviously, and I'm going specifically Sarah Connor from Terminator and Terminator 2 from 1984 and 1991.
Those are the ones that count.
Right.
Yeah.
So the reason I chose Sarah Connor was it seemed like it was going to be another damsel in distress. Needs to be saved by the Kyle Reese, you know.
Yeah.
Like, he's the hero going back. But really, he's, again, the Obi-Wan-style character who is there to teach her briefly, then die, so that she can become the hero of her own story, which she does in the first one. And then in the second one, you know, this second one, after she kills the first one, like, it's just the journey belongs completely to her. And at that point, you know, she's doing whatever it takes to try to teach her son how to survive. And she becomes so incredibly strong that she's able to break out of mental hospitals. And,
yeah, yeah.
You know, with, what was that, Drano to the neck, you know?
Yeah, oh, man.
So
she's pretty BA in Terminator 2.
Yeah. Most definitely. And then, you know, with another part of her interesting character arc is that she decides that what's necessary is for her to go and kill the guy who's going to invent everything.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where theoretically she's going to kill someone before they can do the things. Just she becomes a Terminator.
Yes, exactly. That's a hey. You know what? I never thought of it that way.
But the difference is she's human. She gets there and she realizes she can't kill him in front of his family. So, you know, that's a slightly different take. But yeah, it kind of brings everything full circle. She has a great character arc, and we'll just pretend the other Terminators with her don't exist because, like Terminator 3, she's just. Already dead.
Yeah.
Cancer or something.
God, yeah, it's lame.
Yeah. Lame.
Lame.
So.
Maybe they can retcon that some way. Mess around with the time, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
Did they do that with Terminator Genesis?
Yeah, that was really bad, too.
Okay.
Yeah, they've gone some pretty.
Until then, we will.
Direction.
We will wait for.
James Cameron. To come back, yeah,
which he's about to,
and save that whole franchise. Hopefully,
yes.
Yeah,
so maybe he'll bring his ex-wife back in.
I'm assuming that you don't mean Catherine Bigelow.
No, I do not.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my number 4.
That's a good pick.
That's a good pick.
I like it. My number 4 is also from a comic book, and the character I'm talking about is Zatanna.
Ah.
Zatanna Zatara.
Yes.
Daughter of the magician Zatara. Giovanni Zatara is his name. But we're not talking about him. We're talking about his daughter, Zatanna.
Yes.
Who's a stage magician. But also a real magician, which is kind of cool, you know.
She kind of has a... Like Lord of Illusions.
Right, yeah. I like that. I like that whole thing. Lord of Illusions is an awesome movie, too.
That is an awesome movie.
I like that movie. But I think this is a character, like, if they handled it right, I think would make a really cool movie as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
a lot of potential there. You know, they've done a lot. You know, there's been a lot of different types of incarnations of the character throughout the years. You know, I know they've had her even on some of the Teen Titans or Young Justice. I think she was on there.
One thing that remains constant.
The fishnet stockings.
Fishnet stockings and two things that remain constant. Fishnet stockings, well, three, top hat, three things.
Yeah, three very things. Constant.
Fishnet stockings, top hats, backwards magic.
Backwards magic, exactly, yeah.
And a relationship with Batman.
And a relationship.
Amongst with, the yeah, things yeah, yeah. that remain constant yeah. are such diverse elements as.
And also some weird mild connection with John Constantine as well.
Anyone catch up was doing a Monty so, Python? Yeah, 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 yes. I didn't know if anyone was going.
Amongst these connections.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
But yeah, and I always thought the backwards magic thing, I always thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
It was a cool thing to do, like a cool cool thing to add to the character. You know, a lot of, you know, that makes her kind of powerful because basically anything she says kind of backwards, can she can make things happen. And just a really cool, interesting character. I've liked her in lots of
I think
of
Ozzy Osbourne and Led Zeppelin also have that power.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah, yeah. Listen to this podcast backwards.
Yeah.
See what happens.
You'll get 2 hours of your life back.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I'm 2 hours younger.
This is amazing. So, yeah, so Zatanna.
Zatanna.
Top hat and magic and all that.
Yeah, I always thought she was a very, very interesting character and. And yeah, the fishnets is nice too.
Yeah,
Sam, we're celebrating strong females, not fishnets right now.
Yeah. You know, it takes a strong female to walk around just fishnet.
Fair enough. Yeah, that or Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah,
that's a whole
different ball.
Also well known for fishnets.
That's true.
Yeah. Also, fishermen.
And Deadliest Catch.
They are also well known for.
That's very true. That's very true. So,
all right, moving up to number three,
the tray.
The tray. I'm gonna stick with in the DC universe, and I'm going to go with Vixen.
Oh man, when I read your list, I thought you were talking about the '80s hair band.
No. Not them.
Oh man!
The comic book character.
You'd have to go with Lita Ford then.
You gotta go. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Runaways.
And Vixen, her first appearance was Action Comics 521. That was in 1981. A little bit about her. She has the ability to draw the abilities of different animals. What helps her do that is the amulet that she wears around her neck. So, for an example, if she needed strength, she can. If she thinks of a particular animal, she like a gorilla, she'll have a strength of a gorilla. So I just always thought, and especially when they portrayed her in Justice League and Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah.
I just thought they really developed her character really well. Her name when she's not fighting crime is Marie McCobb. And when she's not fighting crime or trying to save the world, she's a model. So found that interesting. Has she... And different stories where she has tried to develop whether or not she wanted to be a superhero or not, and she seems to just keep coming back to being a hero. And currently, she is in the what is it called, the Arrow Universe. That's the CW's naming of Arrow and Flash. Their universe is the Arrow Universe, and she also has her own. Animation series right now that's on the CW's website. So if you get a chance, check her out.
Do they have a live action version of her on the Arrow?
They had two different actresses played the Vixen. One is playing Vixen as her grandmother, and
the grandmother's
codename
is Vixen.
Because I watched the animated version of it, mm-hmm. and I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. Yeah. I thought it was done really well.
Yeah. So, yeah, Vixen is, to me, is my number three. And,
yeah. I've not read a lot with her in it. I just really haven't. I'm not that familiar. Yeah.
You'll probably read more of her in, like, the most recent of the Justice League. So, because when she was the newest incarnation of Justice League, like, right kind of right now, like, Batman's Justice League. But she's usually, like, kind of around where Martian Manhunter was kind of the leader. And you had, like, Booster Gold and Blue Beetle. She would show up there, and she always like showed up in like Justice League International.
I was about to say, it sounds Justice League International type thing.
Yeah. So I'm more familiar with her from Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, the cartoon series. Those were so good.
Especially Girl Fight is the episode where it is the Huntress, Vixen, Black Canary, and Hawkgirl versus Wonder Woman. So
that's a
pretty good episode.
Yeah.
So that is my pick.
All right, good pick.
My number three is from Westeros.
Aha.
And there's a bunch of people from Westeros I could have picked.
That's like the old West, right? That's cowboys and stuff?
Yes,
okay,
it is.
Okay. That's what I thought.
I've chosen one of the Stark girls.
Oh.
Arya Stark.
Yes.
That's
good. I like her because I like the way her character arc is going. And she started as a strong little girl and is growing up just to be incredibly BA. And the show, played by Macy Williams, daughter of Eddard and Catelyn Stark. When we're first really introduced to her, one of the first things she does is stand up to Joffrey, which gets her friend killed, and her dog has to, or her wolf has to run away, and, you know, Sansa's wolf pays the price. Throughout the show, more so than the books, but throughout the books as well, she is placed with strong male characters and outshines them. So you see her with, obviously Joffrey at the beginning, Serio Forel, the sword master, the dance teacher, if you will.
Yeah.
Gendry, the faceless man, Jaqen H'ghar. Mm-hmm. In the television show, she then is with Tywin.
Yeah.
The Hound. And then at that point, she goes and goes to the house of, was it Black and White? Yeah. To become a faceless killer as well. And the only other thing I'll mention is that she, spoilers for those of you who haven't been in season 6, which at this point you should have, so it's your own damn fault.
If you haven't watched it, then you're just not interested in it.
Yeah. So has avenged her mother and brother's death by killing so many of the Freys and then feeding them to the Walder Frey, the orchestrator of the Red Wedding, then slitting his throat. And I only can imagine what's going to happen next season, because there's still a lot of people on her list.
Yeah. That's a good pick.
She's BA.
Yeah. She's probably, I hate to say this, probably one of my favorite characters.
Oh, she's dead.
I know that's
oh, why, my gosh, you've sealed her fate.
I did.
Why would you ever do that?
Yep. Because I like to live dangerously. I too have a favorite character.
The Game of Thrones.
Yeah, so there's a lot. I mean, in terms of just strong female characters, Cersei Lannister is a very strong character, but I don't find her arc very redeeming.
Yeah.
Daenerys Targaryen has a nice character arc going, but she's also got a whole lot of let's do the same thing over and over again. You know,
yeah. Honestly, Arya's story arc is probably one of the most interesting story arcs in the whole.
Oh yeah, for sure. In terms of start to finish.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Tyrion's probably my favorite character overall
because he's awesome.
Yeah,
it's more about the actor, I think, with that.
Sure.
Because he's so good.
And then I like Jon Snow as well, but he's A, not female, and B, I don't think he has as interesting of a story arc.
Yeah.
Or at least character development.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, very true.
All right. I guess that we'll go on. It's number three, right?
This is the tray.
My pick's a little bit different. I didn't pick a comic book this time.
All right.
I picked a character from a television show, a long-lasting television show. It was on for 12 years or 12 seasons.
Carol Brady?
It is not Carol Brady. Mm. The description of the show on IMDb says that she's a professional writer and an amateur sleuth. Well, I would go as far as to say if you're an amateur sleuth and there's 12 seasons of your show, you're no longer an amateur sleuth.
No, you're not.
You're probably, borderline Sherlock Holmes probably at that point.
But she doesn't receive money for her sleuthing.
This is true. At that point, she would become professional. Then she would be professional. That's right. And the character I'm talking about, played by Angela Lansbury, is Jessica Fletcher, which I'm really convinced they're probably essentially the same person. In my mind, Angela Lansbury is exactly like Jessica Fletcher. So, but yeah, I mean, 12 seasons, it's hard to argue that she's not a gifted sleuth.
Well,
or the Grim Reaper.
Or the Grim Reaper. Let's
just speak honestly. Sam, I'll ask you this. How many people do you know that's been murdered?
I just know one.
Yeah. How many do you know?
I don't know any.
I also know one that was truly murdered.
That's true. Okay.
Now, let's suppose everywhere I go, murder follows me.
So you're saying?
I'm saying that
serial killer
Angela is the lengthy version of Angel of Death.
Oh,
that Jessica Fletcher murders people and then frames other people for it with dim-witted Tom Bosley not knowing any better, then writes stories about it to profit it, to mock everyone. Like, she's number one most wanted FBI list, whatever.
And I'm going to be honest with this. That is, like, the best-sounding story of, like, any murder. That would, if they turned it into that, that'd be fantastic.
It would be like the Baywatch movie.
It would be the Baywatch movie version of it. Oh my god, yeah. That sounds really good actually. But
She murders them, she pieces together evidence that she's planted.
Yeah.
To help frame someone else for the murder. That's why they always seem so surprised.
Yeah.
Oh no, it wasn't me. It wasn't you.
I can't even prove that it wasn't me.
Right. That's true.
So she's like the Sherlock Holmes of murder.
Yeah.
So she's the Moriarty.
She is the Moriarty.
Yeah, and Tom Bosley, she's been looking this entire time for her Sherlock Holmes. And
constantly being faced with Tom Bosley.
And constantly being faced with Tom Bosley instead. A good father is Howard Cunningham, but a terrible police officer.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting take on Murder, She Wrote.
I'm so happy that you brought this up. I've always wanted to share my opinion of this. I can't remember the last time Murder, She Wrote has come up in casual conversation.
Well, that's why I picked it. Not because I knew about this, but I am also glad that you shared this with us because, yes.
She's a strong woman.
Strong woman.
Maybe strong in ways that we didn't really contemplate.
Nope.
So,
rewatch the show with that in mind.
Yeah. Because it's on syndication somewhere.
Yes,
right. It is. Probably playing right now at this very moment.
Probably. In senior homes everywhere.
Yeah, senior homes everywhere, exactly.
Exactly.
I've never actually watched a full episode. It's hard to say never, but I maybe when it was on first run, I've never watched it on reruns.
Yeah, my parents were pretty big fans.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. So that's how I know the adventures of Jessica Fletcher.
Jessica Fletcher. So,
yeah. You know what? You know who her antithesis should have been? Matlock.
Oh, that would have been good.
That would have been good.
Yeah.
And he could harness demonic powers, so he's like a warlock as well. And that's...
that's where the lock comes
in. That covers where the lock comes in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like his paralegals or parademons.
Oh! Yeah. Oh, no. Man. Parademons would more be with Perry Mason.
Oh!
There you go. We've created our own little
soundtrack by Ozzy Osbourne. Yeah. That was the dumbest Ozzy Osbourne song ever, by the way. Perry Mason.
Oh, yeah.
That's that point. I just
Colin
was thinking.
Perry Mason.
I was just like, what are you doing? You go from Mr. Crowley to Perry Mason.
Yeah, you could have went.
You went from the dark arts to sleuthing, like lawyering.
That was definitely a low point in his career, I think.
My gosh.
Because I want. Did he write that song? I don't know. I'm assuming he did.
Somebody
should have told him.
You can't tell him anything at that point. He's been doing it for so many years.
Yeah,
you can't
that's probably true too.
Senility is kicking in.
Yeah.
Or the drugs. I don't know.
But he came out with better songs afterwards.
Well, I know he did.
You know, so that's,
I don't know.
Man, I don't.
Yeah, he had some bad stuff.
Something.
Yeah, that's the thing. Boy, hit or miss.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, did you watch any of that War Pigs?
No, I wanted to. I kept meaning to go back to it, and I never got a chance to.
Get a chance. War Pigs synced up with the SpongeBob television show. Someone took so much time making this that I just have so much respect for them. We'll watch it after. Just look it up.
Yeah. I can't imagine how it can't be good.
Right.
that's got to be good. So.
Yes. So good. Anyway, and it gets better as it goes along. Done talking about that. Done talking about Perry Mason. Are we done talking about Jessica Fletcher?
I think so. Okay. I think we've divulged as much as we can.
Maybe she kills with magic, and she's actually the character from Bedknobs and Broomsticks as well.
Ooh.
And then she really does need to fight the Matlock.
Oh. Just harnessing her powers for the moment that she can, you know, unleash it.
These are sacrifices to the Dark Lord in order to fight.
Oh, man.
Man, this is writing itself.
Yeah, Murder, She Wrote. Oh,
yeah.
There it is, brought it full circle. Oh, yes.
All right.
All right.
There's some dank conspiracy theory right there.
Yeah, right. All right.
Are we ready?
I think. What number are we on?
Oh, we're about to hit. The deuce.
The deuce. Number two. That's deuce.
That's it. Oh, spray it.
Here we go.
Don't say it.
Don't say it.
Don't say it.
Spray it. Wait. I want you to say it and spray it.
Say it and spray it?
Yeah.
That's going to be messy. Ooh.
Give us your chocolate rain. Trademark. Someone should
Speaking
come up with a
which,
song.
Tay Zonde, thanks for following us on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a little shout out there.
Yeah.
Woo! Chocolate rain guy. All right.
All right. The deuce.
He's probably followed us just to get to the moment where I mentioned it. And here the letter, cease and desist letter, on its way.
And right now he's clicking unfollow.
My work here is done.
All right, my number two is the Ventress from Star Wars Clone Wars. A little insight. Her first appearance was 2003, the micro series Star Wars Clone Wars. And then She reappeared in the series Star Wars: The Clone Wars in 2008, 2008 until the series end. She was voiced by in 2003 by a voice actress named Gray DeLisa, that's DeLisle. And then in the 2008 series that we know for sure was Nikki Federman. Sorry if I pronounced her name wrong, but these two voice actresses brought Ventress to life on the small screen. For those of you who don't know, Ventress was an apprentice to Count Dooku of the dark side of the Force. Her weapon of choice was two lightsabers, which she used masterfully. Her biggest arch nemesis was Anakin, as they always battled. But she had also kind of a weird relationship with Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
Because they would battle, but it wasn't her. She had full hatred of Anakin. Mm. When they battled, it was just full out hatred. But with Obi-Wan, yeah, she hated him, but at times she
dug the beard.
She dug the beard.
Yeah. Kinda. Yeah.
And you know, as the series went on, you know, they still noticed that each other were their enemies, but it wasn't as vicious as if she ever battled Anakin, because she really hated Anakin. Basically, you know, also throughout the series, she fell in love with another Jedi named Quanlin Voss, who at the time was sent by the Jedi Council to go undercover as a person on the dark side to find out who is Count Dooku's master. What ended up happening was he was turned to the dark side, and in order to save him, Ventress sacrificed herself when Count Dooku was going to kill Quinlan. She sacrificed herself and jumped in front of the laser bolt that Count Dooku was shooting at him. And when that happened, the Jedi Quinlan decided that he would not go. He will turn away from the dark side of the Force. And so Ventress, she died as a hero. So the reason why I put her on this list is because, you know, yeah, she was a villain, but, you know, she was like basically the only female in a basically all boys club when it comes to the Sith Lords.
Yeah.
And her character was strong.
Badass.
Yeah. I mean, she went toe to toe with Baby Bubba Fat
at the time. Yeah.
And so, I liked her character development, her whole story arc.
Yeah.
And that she got to die a hero. So, the Ventress is my number two.
That's a good deuce.
There is a good deuce.
A satisfying deuce.
Yes. Are you relieved that you...
I am relieved.
Yes.
I can now turn on the fan and let it circulate.
There you go.
All right. Much like a spicy dinner, I will have visited this deuce before.
Oh, okay.
And it will be just as welcome and relieving the second time as I lay my vengeance upon thee. My number two is Clarice Starling from Silence of the Lambs.
Clarice.
Yes. Again, I like character arcs, and they really spell this one out for you. But an FBI student, which was sent to interview Hannibal Lecter because Jack Crawford, the person in charge of the Buffalo Bill killings, knew that Hannibal would have more of a soft spot for a student, probably, and for a female student, because he's a gentleman. But... that, if you could hear that, was my text tone for my wife, because it makes whatever she's about to say seem important when you add the Law and Order theme music.
I need to do that.
Chilton, who is the slimy whatever in charge of the mental hospital that Lecter's at, makes a pass at her, and she sort of, you know, gets rid of him, which kind of endears her to Lecter because he absolutely hates Chilton. And thus begins a relationship where he feeds her information, but only through clues and riddles, and lets her figure it out. And it grows into mutual respect because he wants to know more about her and learns more about her, and that she's got some sort of depth there. And you learn about her past, growing up in West Virginia with the daughter of a lawman who is, I believe, gunned down on the job. Goes to live with her uncle, and in the night she hears the horrible cries of the lambs getting ready for slaughter, so she tries to rescue one. Doesn't work. Gets sent away to an orphanage because her uncle is so mad. But it becomes a thing of where the kidnapped victim, potential victim, is like the lamb she's trying to save. And that's why at the end, Hannibal asks her whether or not the lambs have stopped screaming. Single-handedly takes down James Gum, the murderer, in Belvidere, Ohio.
Yeah.
A lot of Ohio's in these things. Shoots him, rescues the girl. Then we get to Hannibal. And what Thomas Harris did there is just unforgivable. So we'll pretend it doesn't exist. We'll pretend that she never gets brainwashed by Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
We'll pretend that she never eats portions of what Jack Crawford's brain. They completely changed the ending of the movie from the book.
Yeah, which I was glad.
Yeah. So played by Jodie Foster and Julianne Moore. That's my number. That's my deuce.
That's a good deuce.
Yep.
That is a good deuce. I like that deuce. Yes, indeedy. My deuce. I'm going back to the comic book world here.
All right.
And this character first appeared DC Comics Presents number 26 back in October of 1980. She's also been on various incarnations of a super group called the Teen Titans.
Oh.
And the character I'm talking about is a hybrid of sorts. He's half human and half demon.
Ah.
Her, you know, that's always a spicy
mix. My wife is
spicy mix.
She was in from 1981, not 1980.
Oh, okay.
So
it doesn't fit the whole.
No, except for the year.
Except for the
The description's been almost perfect.
Yeah.
But I would go 75-25.
75-25. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. What are you going to tell us? Where the weights go?
I think we all know.
Okay.
Yes. My name is Bennett, and I'm not in it.
This character was created by Marv Wolfman and George Perez. Her powers, first off, her father is an interdimensional demon known as Trigon.
Trigon.
And the character I'm talking about, if you don't know yet, is, of course, the character Raven from Teen Titans and Teen Titans Go and the Teen Titans comic book and all that kind of stuff. She has various powers, magic and nature, basically. It seems like most of her powers are based off of magic and flight and telekinesis and manipulation of dark energies, if you will. And just a really cool character. I like the whole half demon, half human hybrid. It's anything to, you know, play with. Yeah, exactly. And she's always kind of fighting her darker side so she doesn't, you know, destroy Earth and humanity as we know it.
Right.
That her father wants to do, you know. And that's all this kind of, you know, built in angst and stuff. You know, it's kind of, you know, explains the teenage years in a way that, you know, it might be difficult to do if you weren't half human and half demon, you know. But, yeah, interesting character. I love Tara Strong's portrayal of her on Teen Titans and Teen Titans Go. So that's pretty much all I have to say, I guess, about the character Raven. Interesting character. I like the development of her throughout the TV shows and the comic books.
Yeah, I dig the character a lot. I love this story. Just my son, I'm trying to think, at the time, 4, probably.
All right. Yeah.
Big Teen Titans Go fan. We're at a comic convention.
I think I know.
But the story?
Yes, yeah.
A cosplayer of Raven is walking past, and I think, oh, he loves Teen Titans Go. Hey, who's that, Liam? And Liam looks over. And the look on his face was just priceless. He was in love. He smiled in a way I've never seen a smile. And his hand just kind of goes up in front of his mouth. And, like, you can just see his cheeks. Like, he's, like, so, just so involved. Didn't say a single word. Just, that was the smile. Just,
that was it.
And sunk back down to his seat all red-faced.
Oh, that's awesome. Yep. That's fantastic.
You can do that.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my deuce.
That's a deuce.
That's a good deuce.
Good deuce.
All right. What number are we on now?
The R. Kelly Memorial. Number one. Hide your wife. Hide your teenage daughters.
All right, my number one is we're going into the Marvel Universe and we're coming in like a hurricane. I'm talking,
this is a Scorpion song?
It is a Scorpion song. I am talking about the X-Men known as Storm.
Ah, now I get the hurricane reference. Yeah, not so much Scorpions, not so much the German storm. Metal band.
Yeah, the German metal band.
I don't know. I could sense the winds of change.
That's because we just finished with the deuce.
The deuce, exactly. Hopefully it doesn't rain in November. So.
Oh, man.
But as you know, Storm from the X-Men, giant-size X-Men number one. That brought a lot of characters: Wolverine, Nightcrawler, Colossus, Sunfire, and Storm, and
Thunderbird.
Can't forget Thunderbird. And you know, when they came out, it was like a different take, because up to then it was, you know, kind of just, what's the best word to put it?
All white?
Vanilla? Like, being the most dramatic is a redhead, so, you know, it's kind of like, it's kind of vanilla. So when this new pair of X-Men came out, it was...
X-Men are so pale.
I'm made of snow! But, so when it came out, it was kind of like, you know, it was like refreshing, something new. And I always just like Storm because, you know, for a long time, Cyclops, he's like, I'm the leader of the X-Men. And no one really, like, challenged him. Like, Wolverine will make wisecracks, but, you know, Wolverine never would have thought he would have been the leader, because I'm Wolverine and I'm the best there is at what I do.
What I Do Isn't Pretty.
Yeah, What I Do Isn't Pretty.
It's but, Jean Grey. And What I Do Is Your Mom.
Yeah. Or Squirrel Girl. Come on, Logan. Come on.
it's just craziness. Yeah. But Storm did, because Storm's like, dude, you're not being much of a leader. Because your mind is, at the time, Cyclops had just got married to is it Madeline Pryor?
Yeah.
Jean Grey 2.
and so
the Demon Queen.
Yes. And so, you know, and that was all going kind of crazy, and he really wasn't focused. So Storm was like, well, I'll challenge you to be a leader of the X-Men. And if you read the comic, I can't remember which comic it was. It was Uncanny X-Men. I think it's, and I just had it at home. I think it's like 2. I'll look it up later. I thought I had it in my notes. If you like read the comic where they duel, Cyclops uses his powers for the most part, and Storm basically. Just, she didn't really use her power. She used maybe, like, the wind to, like, maybe move quickly, but not really used her powers. And she was able to take down Cyclops with ease, because Cyclops wasn't in the game. And throughout the X-Men, different incarnations of X-Men, Storm has been the leader. In Uncanny X-Men 281, she had her own team. When Cyclops had his team, and she led the team that had Bishop, and I'm trying to remember some of the other people who were on that team. But Storm, throughout her history, has always been respected by not only the X-Men, but everyone in the Marvel Universe. I mean, so I just always disliked how strong Storm was, even with or without her powers. And, that's my number one pick.
That's a good pick. I think when I originally started getting into the X-Men comic books, she was pretty much the de facto leader.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so.
Yeah, the first comic book I bought was, I think I mentioned this before, was 210. It was the prelude to the Mutant Massacre. But then, not long after, I purchased all of the issues from 185 to 209. It was very Storm-centric. Mm-hmm. And I really, didn't she lose her powers in there for a while?
She did lose her powers.
And she was still the leader of the X-Men.
Exactly, and still badass.
Because she had to fight,
she fought somebody without her powers and still won.
Yeah, it was a Callisto. Morlocks.
Yeah, the Morlocks, who then went down to try to protect.
That's the one kind of disappointing thing I think about the X-Men film franchise, mm-hmm. is I don't think they've ever treated her character the same way as they have in the comic books.
No. They tried to make her more bitter in The Last Stand, but it was kind of like
and then they tried to made her a bad guy in Apocalypse.
Yeah.
And that was dumb.
Yeah.
But they gave her the mohawk.
They did give her the mohawk. So that's
the mohawk.
Demon thing, yeah.
So, I don't know. I always liked her character. I never liked Forge, though, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Forge was weird. I mean.
And,
you know. I don't know.
and she's also, by the way, is co-starring in the comic book Black Panther and the Crew, which unfortunately has gotten canceled, but they're going to finish the series. So it's going to be like a 7-issue story.
So there'll be closure. Well, that's good.
Right.
Boy, how many issues has been out?
2.
Man, they've already decided to cancel it.
Yeah.
And 2 issues in.
And it's been it's pretty good, because this last issue number 2 that I just read, you know, Storm shows up with Misty Knight, which is also a very strong character also. And
and they're trying to find out who murdered this. How did this old superhero slash activist, civil rights activist, died in prison? And you find out the connections between this guy and Misty Knight and this guy and Storm. And you're going to find out in later issues how he connects to Black Panther and Luke Cage. And as they all come, it's going to be basically all going to come together to try to figure out how this this person was murdered in prison.
Ah, okay.
So,
I just need to say something. Misty Knight is just an awesome name.
That is
one of my favorite names, I think, from Marvel.
Yep.
Misty Knight.
Misty Knight.
Like, who are you?
This guy has like a certain ring to it.
Mm-hmm.
Certain je ne sais quoi. I had to say that, but yeah, okay.
I don't know what that means, but I can't exactly explain what it is. But
exactly. But it makes me feel that way.
So
makes me say words that I don't know their meaning.
Yeah.
Kind of like Kofif. Kofefe. I still haven't gotten it right. Man, that's embarrassing not pronouncing that right.
I know, seriously. You'd think something the president says would be more important to you.
You would think that.
When I think great presidential speeches, I think, ask not what you can do for your country, or not what country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I think Gettysburg Address. And I think, despite all of the press, Kofefe,
that's right. I think that word is going to take off. Now that people know the meaning of it,
yeah,
it's going to, you know, they're going to talk about their cell phones. My cell phone, Kofefe, is not very good here.
Right.
It's exactly. Going to be, you know.
Yeah. I can't believe that we haven't seen more Kofefe on the whole, you know,
filling the news event.
My feet are cold because my blanket doesn't provide the proper Kofefe.
Yes. Yes.
Sam's uncomfortable with the Kofefe comments.
I'm not. I'm just letting you guys go with the Kofefe.
Go on our Kofefe rant. Just going all Kofefe. Yeah. Long Kofefe.
All right.
So that was my number one.
That was your number one?
That was a good number one. Solid number one.
All right. Hide your pets and spay your kids. It's time for my... Wait, strike that. Reverse it. It's time for my R. Kelly Memorial number one.
Yeah!
My number one is in two movies.
Two movies.
And during the first one... She is known simply as the Bride. And in the second one, you find out her name is Beatrix Kiddo. I am talking about Black Mamba herself.
Yeah.
Uma Thurman in Kill Bills Volume 1 and 2. So she's part of the Deadly Viper Assassination Squad. Which is just badass to begin with. So the whole thing is a giant revenge drama. On her wedding day, it's revealed in true Quentin Tarantino style, where nothing happens in the order in which it actually takes place. On her wedding day, she is revisited by a shadow of her past through the other members of the Deadly Viper Assassination Squad. And Bill. The Kill Bill title. Who shoots her in the head and leaves her in a coma. And just as he's shooting her, she lets him know that the baby she's carrying is his. And then, so she wakes from her coma, and without getting into too many details, bent on revenge against all the people that wronged her. And so she begins hunting them down one at a time. During that time, you see a little bit of her background. She was trained by Pai Mei.
Yeah.
It was just fantastic. She get her revenge, she visits a famous Japanese sword maker and convinces him to come out of retirement to create one last sword for her, which he does only because he knows it's going to be used on Bill. And you never know why he hates Bill so much, but he does. So all that mystery is there. And one by one, she just kills everybody that crosses her, pretty much. And some amazing things. Oren Ishii and the Crazy 88.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was
such a great scene. Filmed so well. Over the top.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
You randomly have some anime in there.
Mm-hmm.
Getting her background.
Oh, that's right. There is that whole anime sequence.
Yeah.
That's right. I forgot about
that. Just so much in Volume 1. And then Volume 2, you get to see Michael Madsen, who plays Bill's brother, Bud.
Yeah, yeah.
And, oh, man, what's her name?
Daryl Hannah. Yeah.
Plays, I think, Ellie Driver.
Yep, Ellie Driver.
And who was a nurse with the,
yeah, with the
eye patch, with the cross. Just some unforgettable characters.
Lucy Liu's in it as well.
She was Oren Ishii.
Yeah, that's right.
What's that?
Did it?
Oh, yeah. Who, with their daughter watching it.
Yeah.
Which they talk about as the planned sequel, if they ever make it, is the daughter comes for revenge 20 years later.
Oh, that would be so good. That would be so good. Find another Hattori Hanzo sword maker.
And then this final scene with her and Bill, David Carradine Bill, where it's revealed that the whole time he's been raising the daughter, who she thought was dead, and they spend a night like a family, kind of.
Yeah.
And then the daughter goes to bed, and it gets down to business time, and he tells a great story as a comic book fan, explaining that Superman is the actual character, and the secret identity is Clark Kent. You know, he's pretending to be Clark Kent when really he's Superman, and that's... this clumsy thing is the way he sees everyone. And he says that as an example to her, to say that even if she was going to go live this normal life with this dude, that she'd still be the killer. She'd still, that would just be a fake front or whatever. And, but eventually she kills him with the 5-point palm exploding heart technique, which was taught to her by Pai Mei, and a surprise to Bill.
That
he taught it to anyone. And it's just a fantastic
movie. That is a great movie. That's a great movie. I remember shortly after that movie came out, we were at a comic book convention. David Carradine was there.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And there wasn't hardly anybody at his table. And I really regret not getting anything signed from him because he died shortly afterwards.
Yeah.
So, but I remember like distinctly just walking by his table and him uttering out the words, "Buy some crap." And I was just like, "Oh man, I would have too."
I mean, I didn't go to comic conventions then, but I mean, I would have bought stuff from him because, Kung Fu was like an integral part of my childhood.
Exactly,
I wasn't watching it like necessarily first run. I was watching it on the weekends,
syndication.
Yeah.
And he had all the stuff there. Like, you could have got Kung Fu autographs. You could have got all this, and I really do regret not getting it. And what I can't understand is that there was no line, and you think just the Kill Bill stuff going on, that there'd be so much interest in him from that, because you know at the time that's why he was there. You know, basically kind of promoting that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, I'll just get him next time. Next time I see him, I'll get in. After that, I'm like, any actor that I see that kind of means something to me,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm getting stuff from him because you never know.
Right.
You never know. So
another fun theory is that Kill Bill is a movie that takes place within the Tarantino universe, as in it's a movie in the Tarantino universe. It's the type of movie in the ultra violence soaked Tarantino thing, which is why there's so much stylized violence in it. Because if you remember Pulp Fiction, Uma Thurman's character said she played an assassin and a TV pilot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. An all-female assassin group. So, whatever. Who knows if it's...
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably not true, but unless it's a fun theory to hear.
It is a fun theory.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
All right, are we done with Kill Bill?
Well, I'm done with Kill Bill.
Oh, you're done with Kill Bill? Done. All right.
I feel like watching it now, though.
I do, too. That right. You mentioned, because there's a lot I forgot about it. But I guess we'll finish with my my number one. And the character that I picked is from a comic book. From the Marvel Universe.
Hmm.
She's been called Savage. She's been called Sensational. And also referred to as a single green female.
Hmm.
Oh.
And that character that I'm talking about is She-Hulk.
Yes.
Yes, She-Hulk. I think it's long overdue for there to be some kind of She-Hulk in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah. It seems like... You know, they've had several attempts at Hulk movies that have kind of, you know, have had mixed results. I think if they did a good She-Hulk movie, that might be pretty cool.
I think we should get Ang Lee to direct it.
You know what? Fantastic.
And we could really just talk about her daddy issues for two and a half hours and then have her destroy some tanks and see if it makes up for it.
Yeah. Or fight some giant dogs.
Some giant, mutated dogs. Doberman pinchers.
Yeah.
Maybe Shih Tzus this time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a big, gigantic water slide that comes alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
the way the film was shot.
It was very comic booky that way. Right. The panels, they look like panels. They look like comic book panels.
And it was like, oh, that was interesting, but that execution as far as the action was.
I mean, you don't see a Hulk movie to hear about daddy issues. Right. At least not, you know, you don't want that to be 90% of the film.
Right.
You see a Hulk movie to see Hulk smash.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And when there's no Hulk smash, it's not a very good Hulk movie.
No.
You know.
But I was still so starved for comic book entertainment that I enjoyed watching the end of it at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, because
I never watched it again for years.
Yeah.
And then rewatched some of it, realizing how bad it was again on hindsight. But I knew it was bad, but I didn't want it to be bad in my head.
Yeah.
I had it's a Phantom Menace syndrome that I have there.
Yes, I understand that. That should become like a
That real, should be an actual Phantom Menace syndrome where I had that with Transformers.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I wanted that movie to be good, too.
I had that with... The movie that shall not be named that featured Indiana Jones.
Oh, man. That was some serious fantasy.
Actually, I've never finished that movie. I haven't seen the whole movie.
Don't bother.
I'm not going to.
Yeah, it's all so painful.
Yes.
We gotta key
that phrase there. Phantom Syndrome.
Dude. I like that. Yeah. We're gonna call back to that. Anytime there's something like that, yes.
PMS.
PMS. PMS. RPMS.
Oh, man. How sexist are we that we bring up PMS our favorite female? Oh, my gosh.
That was completely unintentional.
Unintentional.
You're in the doghouse now.
Yeah. Mm. Ooh. But yeah, She-Hulk.
She-Hulk. Oh, let's go on with the She-Hulk.
Yeah, cousin of Bruce Banner. Got her powers because she was shot, lost a lot of blood, and hey, her cousin just happened to be, you know, the perfect blood type fit. But as we know, Bruce Banner has some things special about his blood.
Nobody loves the Hulk.
Nobody loves the Hulk.
Call back.
You know, we all know Bruce Banner is the Hulk. You know, has gamma radiation in his blood. Jennifer Walters gets that blood, you know, as a blood donor. She gets that blood in her to kind of compensate for the loss of blood that she had. But she also gets a little bit more than just the blood. She gets... to become She-Hulk. Right. Originally, she comes out, you know, a lot of her powers are very similar to the Hulk's, where she gets angry, she turns into She-Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
The characters change a little bit over time. You know, she kind of
has gained all of her mental capacities. Yeah. You know, so now she's different than the Hulk, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't she a lawyer?
Yeah, she's a lawyer. Yeah.
So a strong female character who's mentally strong as well.
Exactly.
Able to fight battles in the courtroom.
And out in the field, if you will.
Yes. Yeah.
That, and she, unlike her alter ego, She-Hulk had no problem going up to a guy and saying, "Hey, I'm She-Hulk. I like you."
Right?
She wasn't shy anymore. She was out of her shell.
And, you know, that's...
I always liked her and Spider-Woman.
I did, too.
And I had no justification for liking Spider-Woman because I never read a single comic book with her in it. I just thought she looked so cool.
That's an awesome costume. It really is. Mm-hmm. I think with the problem with Spider-Woman, because I haven't really read a whole lot about that character either, but it seems like they just need to focus more on the character for that.
Yeah.
For that, you know, because the costume's there, I think. The costume's
awesome. She is a super spy.
Yeah,
they put her in the New Avengers.
They put her in New Avengers, but that version of her was the actual Skrull.
The Skrull, yeah.
You know, she's back, and she's a super spy, and pretty good at it, and gets annoyed with Spider-Man.
There's
a panel where they're fighting somebody, and they're, like, standing behind a wall, and Spider-Man's like, "Hey, so did you get bit by a radioactive spider too?" She's like, "No." So are we like cousins or something? No.
Yeah. But yeah, She-Hulk, I think, ripe for them to make a cinematic appearance with She-Hulk. So,
looking forward to Captain Marvel too.
I am too. I was going to mention Captain
Marvel. Even though it was not Mar-Vell.
Yeah.
The Captain Marvel of my youth.
Yeah. But I'd like to see that movie as well. So, do we have any honorable mentions?
I got a bunch.
Oh,
go figure.
Unleash them.
Unleash. Well, first, I'm gonna go. I mentioned 11.
Uh huh.
But I did not include her only because she's 12.
Got it.
And they're kind of limited. We'll see what happens in season 2 of Stranger Things. Rogue.
Rogue's a good one.
I always liked the character Rogue. I like the idea of a character who yearns for human contact and can't have it without stealing people's powers. Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn's a good one.
Ultimately, I decided against Harley Quinn because I wanted to stick with stronger people with a big character arc, and I know they're doing new things in the comic book, but she is kind of a
side character.
She's a side character, and she's got it's like Stockholm syndrome almost. And while I get it, and she's popular, and she's a cool character, and she's a fun character, it's a little bit weird at times. Ellen Ripley.
All
right. We talked about her already not being on our list. Death from the Sandman comics.
Okay.
I always dug the idea of having the anthropomorphic personification of the ultimate, you know, death, the ultimate end of everything, being a
hot goth chick.
A hot goth chick with a top hat and
awesome,
cool eye makeup. In fact, if, you know, pretty much everyone in my life could be Dana Scully.
Oh, very good. Yeah,
Summers.
Buffy. I was going to pick Buffy Summers too, but I was like, we've mentioned her.
Yeah,
so many.
That's kind of why I didn't too. And then Michonne from The Walking Dead.
That's a good one too.
But I don't, I mean, the character development, there hasn't been as much arc-wise. You don't know her full background. You only know pieces, parts of it. But the image of her in the mist with the two zombies behind her without the jaws, so all cool. Hooded, is one of the coolest things in a comic book I've seen.
Yeah. That is awesome. The I just bring this up because you mentioned Rogue.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in high school, there was this guy that we had an argument about that character. And the argument was how to pronounce her name. Yeah. Rogue. He was absolutely certain that it was pronounced Rogu.
Oh.
And it's just unbelievable to me. So then at that point forward, you know, and this is probably kind of mean for me to say this, but then every character we like kind of purposely mispronounced. And
yeah.
Like, hey, did you read the new X-Men comic? It had Colossus in it. You know? And so it was, you know, just to see it. Cyclops.
Cyclops
was in it. Yeah, yeah. So, but no, anytime I think of the Rogue character...
Rogu.
Yeah, it's like in my head and it will never leave my brain. I wish it did because it's just like...
It's amazing how something, you can hear something and it forever changes.
Yeah, yes, yeah, absolutely.
Rogu. Those are some good honorable mentions. One, speaking of like a kid, I was going to put Charlie, the Firestarter.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah.
I was like, she's still strong. Like, she's a kid. I kind of stay away. So that was one. Starfire from Teen Titans.
That was on my list as well. Yeah. And also Firestar.
The Firestar
was on my list as well.
And
River Tam.
Oh,
Firefly is a good one.
Yeah,
I didn't even think of that.
Supergirl. Supergirl. Seems kind of obvious, though.
I was more of a Power Girl
kind
of Power Girl kind of guy.
Yeah, I thought about her, too. Magic. From
Ileana Rasputin.
Yeah. Wasp.
Well,
I identify with that character for some reason.
Yeah.
What about you, Sam?
I'm not touching it. I'm not touching it. Not at all.
Not at all.
So that's another difference between you and Hank Pym.
Wow. I'm really glad he decided not to go that route.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, cringe.
Wow. That would have been, I was a little bit concerned when he first talked about making that movie, and I was like, oh.
Right.
Just don't go that route, please.
And we're talking about this on a women's podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, we can talk about it because that was just, I felt, a huge mistake.
Yeah.
And the way they handled that.
Yeah.
So.
Not well. Not done well. Gamora.
Gamora?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought she was a good pick as well. Black Widow.
Black Widow.
Seemed very obvious pick, though.
Yeah.
We're missing we're missing like two powerhouses here.
Scarlet Witch?
No. We're missing Jean Grey and Rachel Summers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Rachel. Yeah, I mean, I've never been into the Jean Grey character.
Yeah.
Just in general, because I mean,
it's kind of like
I like Storm better than I like Jean Grey.
Yeah, right.
I'm totally there with you because that character just seems, you know, Storm's way more interesting than Jean Grey. I mean, Jean Grey.
I like Kitty Pryde more than I like Jean Grey.
You know what? Right, a good Kitty Pryde is now the leader of the X-Men Gold. So that's
really?
What Storm. Yeah, because after the whole Inhumans versus X-Men war and everything, Storm just felt like that she made the wrong decision, being manipulated by Emma Frost into going to the war with the Inhumans, and she felt that she couldn't really lead the X-Men into the future, but Kitty could, and Kitty's like, I'll do it as long as you're here. Seeing that, you know, seeing having a mentor and stuff. But I do like the story how Kitty Pryde has evolved from the scared little girl to a confident woman.
Yeah.
and leading the X-Men.
And see, that's the cool thing with the character development when they do those things with those characters. And you give those interesting backgrounds and kind of, like, show them grow and everything like that. And I just don't know if there's ever been, like, as far as Jean Grey goes, I don't know if there's ever been, like...
What's changed for her over the years? I mean, she's still... I mean, things change, but I mean, it's
the character
itself remains kind of constant. It's kind of like she's stuck in the sitcom realm where the characters have to stay the same.
Yeah,
from episode to episode, there's very little growth.
And I think they're trying to do that with X-Men Blue, but I'm just not feeling it.
I'm not sure if you're talking about a team name or if you're just describing what you thought of it.
No, X-Men. There's two X-Men books. X-Men
Blue and Gold.
I felt that one of those, when they talk about it in the past tense, is going to be better than the other.
Yeah.
I mean, this one was the gold standard.
And then this blue.
Blue.
It's completely blue.
It's taken. X-Men Blue is made up of the original X-Men that were plucked out of time.
Mm. We talked about this because there was crap in there, right? She outed
Bobby Drake.
Iceman.
So she Jean Grey is now like the leader of the X-Men Blue, and they're trying to make her stronger than being the damsel in distress with a level 12 power of hers or something like that. Didn't she, what was it, level 15 they always said?
So
this is just a really great quote from Joss Whedon, because I just wanted to, during our all-female thing.
Yeah.
Where someone asked him, so why do you write these strong female characters? And he said, because you're still asking me that question.
Exactly. That's a good way to end this podcast.
That's right.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well selected quote there. I like that. All right. I guess we're all done.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Later. See ya. Bye. Hello, this is Rick back again. We have a couple things going on that we want to let you know about. First off, we can be seen at the All-American, the 2017 All-American, in beautiful Youngstown, Ohio. The event is being hosted by All-American Cards and Comics. This will be a rather large venue. What we'll be doing is we will be hosting a special trivia session talking about basically the trivia. It's going to be like a Jeopardy style contest, and there'll be prizes. So make sure if you have time on July 8th and July 9th, and you'll be located in the Youngstown, Ohio area, to come check us out. All right. And also make sure that you check us out on Facebook, at All of My Issues, at our website, allofmyissues.com, and look for us on other types of social media like Tumblr and Twitter. All right. Thanks for listening.